This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I'd like to continue our study in Ephesians chapter 4, if you'd like to turn there in your Bible. I'm glad that you've joined us on the program. We always appreciate you being with us. I appreciate those who support this program and who tune in and study the Word of God, and I'm grateful that you're back today. Tell others about the program. We also invite you to meet with us. Our services are back to normal at the Wordfield Boulevard Church of Christ. Our meeting times are back to normal. We are social distancing and taking other precautions in our worship service so that you can feel safe. We would love to have you come visit with us. We meet at 290 Wordfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. There are a number of religious groups that are still shut down. We are open, and we are presenting God's Word and worship each week, speaking the truth in love, and we would encourage you to come be with us. You can also check us out on our website, wbcoc.org. Our sermons and lessons and other materials are there. wbcoc.org. Our motto or slogan for the Wordfield Boulevard Church of Christ is speaking the truth in love, and that comes from Ephesians 4 verse 15 that we will be talking about today. But we'd love to have you 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, 6 p.m. Sunday evening, Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16, deals with the Christian's walk in unity. We're now in the portion of the book of Ephesians talking about the Christian's walk. In chapters 1 through 3, the Christian's wealth, and in chapters 4 through 6, the Christian's walk. I'd like to read together with you chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. We'll come back and make a few comments reviewing what we've looked at thus far, and then we will get into the new section of our study. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beseech you to walk worthily of the calling wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering and forbearing one another in love, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But unto each one of us was the grace given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now this, he ascended, what is it but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of ministering, unto the building up of the body of Christ, till we all attain unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind or doctrine by the sleight of men in the craftiness after the wiles of error, but speaking truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom all the body fitly framed and knit together through that which every joint supplies, according to the working in due measure of each several part, makes the increase of the body unto the building up of itself in love. So love mentioned a couple of times there. Unity mentioned a couple of times there. The unity of the Spirit, verse 3. The unity of the faith, verse 13. And that's the theme of our chapter 4, 1 through 16, our walk in unity. Now, we had already talked in last week's lesson, and all of our programs are posted on our website. Look back from time to time, and you can listen to previous recordings as they are posted. We already looked at the right plan for unity, which includes walking properly, the right attitude, and the right doctrine, verses 4 through 6, and the right effort, verse 3. So, the right plan for unity is mentioned in verses 1 through 6, and today's program, I want to focus on the provision for unity, verses 7 through 11, and then the purpose for that unity, verses 12 through 16. But I wanted to go back and make one point just as an application for things going on in our world today. If you look at verses 4 through 6 again, the seven ones, what I call the seven ones, we can be unified in these areas. We must be. We're supposed to be. This is what God wants. We live in a very divided world, a very diverse world, and we need to get back to the theme and the idea of one, one body. That's the church. Chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. It's the church, one New Testament church, and we can be like that group today. We can be simple New Testament Christians. It's possible, and we must be that way. We don't need to settle for diversity and division and denominationalism, but one body. Of course, one Spirit or Holy Spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling. In today's religious world, there's not just one hope of heaven. There are even different kinds of hopes. Some religions, like our Jehovah's Witness friends, they say that the 144,000 will be in heaven and everybody else will be on a restored earth. That's two different hopes. Some talk about reincarnation. Some talk about purgatory, and then eventually you get out of that. The Mormons have three different kinds of heaven. That's at least three different kinds of hope. So even in this matter where you would think that there would be unity, there is still even division there. But one hope of heaven. One Lord, that's Jesus Christ. One faith, that's the one body of teaching in the New Testament. Not creeds and councils, and manuals, and disciplines, and documents of men, but just simply the apostles' teaching in the New Testament. One baptism, that's water baptism for the remission of sins. There are charismatic and Pentecostal groups that say you need water baptism and Holy Spirit baptism. One God and Father of all. My point is that we live in a very diverse world, and it's just accepted as what we're supposed to be, and that's not true. We've got to get back to the ones, the seven ones, and any unity that is found in any matter in the New Testament. So let's strive for that, and that's what we're striving for at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We want to be a church of Christ, belonging to Christ, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. And we would encourage you to come be a part of that. If it's a matter of studying more and learning more how to do that, I would be glad to sit down with you with an open Bible and an open mind in order to do that very thing. So pressing on then, verses 7 through 16, let's look at the provision that Christ made for this unity. He didn't just simply want it and then go back into heaven without any provision for it. He provided male leadership in the church for that unity, and then he wants there to be unity for a particular purpose, and that is that his body would be built up in the faith, in the truth, and be working together in love. So a particular purpose. Let's look at verses 7 through 11 right now. Let's look at Christ's provision for unity. The Christian's walk of unity has been provided for by Christ. He planned it, and he laid it out, verses 1 through 6, and then he provided for that. And verse 7 says that Christ gave, or Paul writes, that he gave the gift of Christ and gifts unto men. But unto each one of us was the grace given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The gift of Christ, that's the theme of this little section, 7 through 11, excuse me. The gift of Christ. And the gift is in the form of men who would lead the church in unity and to unity. In verse 8, Paul quotes Psalm 68, verse 18, and applies it to the incarnation, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus. First, Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth when he came to the earth from heaven and then went to the grave. He came from heaven to earth, John 3:13. And just before we go any farther, just as a side note, Jesus did not go to hell when he died and was buried. The view that Jesus went into hell when he died goes back to the man-made tradition of the Apostles' Creed in the 4th century AD. However, Jesus did not enter into hell, Gehenna, hellfire, the place of punishment upon his death. He went to Hades, and that is the better word in Acts chapter 2. If you use the King James talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ in Acts chapter 2, it talks about him going to hell. It should be Hades there, the realm of the departed spirits, those who die. The body is in the grave, the spirit goes to Hades, and Jesus went to the paradise portion of Hades. We know that from his comment to the thief on the cross in Luke 23:42, Acts 2:27, and Acts 2:31. So just wanted to mention that. So Jesus comes to earth. He dies. His body is put in the grave. He goes to the paradise portion of Hades. Then he's resurrected, and he ascends back to the right hand of the Father. So Jesus ascended on high when he went back into heaven to sit at the right hand of God. And there are a number of verses on this. Acts 2, 34 through 35, Romans 10, 6. And his position at the right hand of God is far above all the heavens. When he ascended, Jesus led captivity captive by conquering all evil forces. He conquered the devil. He conquered sin in providing a way for all mankind to be forgiven of sin. And so he is viewed as a conqueror. He's viewed that way in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 17 and 18 and other places. He is the victorious one. The devil is the loser. And he also ascended that he might fill all things by giving all spiritual blessings to mankind. We've already seen this earlier in the book in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, Colossians 2, 9 and 10, to fill all things. That is to provide for mankind everything that Christ intends to do. And we have all things in Christ, and that really is the theme of the book of Colossians. And not to get off on a sidetrack too much, but Ephesians and Colossians are parallel books, much of the same information. And one of the themes in the book of Colossians is the little word all. Christians have all things in Christ. They don't need any other human wisdom or anything like that. We have everything. We have all things in Christ. And so, that he might fill all things. Nothing is lacking in our spiritual life if we are a Christian. We don't need Christ plus something else. We don't need the New Testament plus something else. We don't need the New Testament church plus something else. We have it all. And these gifts were men that Jesus gave to lead the church in unity. Look at verse 11. Paul talks about, first of all, he talks about apostles and prophets. Paul had already mentioned that earlier in chapter 2 and verse 20. The church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. So Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus is the builder. He's the cornerstone. He's the foundation. And then the words of the apostles as they preached the first gospel sermon and first converts in the beginning of the church on Acts chapter 2 and other prophets in the New Testament church revealing God's word. These men revealed the unifying word of God. God's word, the apostles and prophets, when we follow that word today, we have their word. We don't have living apostles and prophets. Contrary to the teaching of the Mormon church that has modern day apostles, they're not physically living, but their word is living with us, of course. And that word, the whole point is, it's a unifying word. Remember, Christ is providing for the unity through men who are going to teach a unifying message. So he talks about apostles and prophets. Then he talks about evangelists. And then he talks about pastors and teachers. Now, as I mentioned, apostles and prophets no longer physically exist with us in the Lord's church. They've passed away. But evangelists and pastors and teachers still do. And I wanted to make a note on pastors. That is one of the most misunderstood religious terms today. Pastors are the same as elders, men who pastor or shepherd or feed or tend the church of God. The noun is used here. Elsewhere, the verb is used for elders to tend or feed. You can look at that in Acts chapter 20, verse 17 and 28, and 1 Peter 5, 1 through 3. So pastors are not the preacher or the evangelist. I get called that all the time. Pastor Reeves. It's a very common misnomer. In the past, preachers or evangelists or ministers got called pastors to separate them from the bishops. But the pastor is actually the elder and the bishop. And maybe you've never heard that before, but that's the Bible truth. And we need to use Bible words and Bible ways. So the pastor is not the preacher. So the pastors, the shepherds, those who feed and tend the church, the flock, they are also teachers. They teach the word of God in the local congregation. So you've got these men that are listed. I wanted to make one other point before we move on to the last section, 12 through 16, and that is that you see a plan here and a provision here by Christ. First of all, the apostles and prophets are men who revealed the unifying word of God. Then the evangelists are men who preach that revealed word of God that unifies others. And the pastors and teachers are men in the local church who lead with that word that is preached and revealed. So you've got the revealed word of God, the preached word of God, and the led word of God. And with all of that going on, you have the unity of Christians in the first century and even 2,000 years later today. That's how unity is accomplished. Everybody wants unity that I know about. That is a common thing, just like everybody wants love. Now, you can find exceptions to that, of course. But most people you talk to, I want unity and I want love. But you have to read the chapter carefully. How is that achieved? It's not just talking points. It's not just slogans and words that we say. If that's what we really want, then we have to follow the plan for that and the provision for that. Now, with all of that in place, what is it going to lead to? What is the purpose for all of these gifts? And what is the purpose for all of the ones listed earlier in verses 4, 5, and 6? Well, the purpose is there is a purpose for unity. And all that Jesus had planned for in verses 1 through 6 and provided for in verses 7 through 11 leads Christians to the right goal or purpose of unity, and that is spiritual growth and maturity. Working together in love with spiritual growth and maturity. The purpose of unity is to promote the spiritual perfecting, that is growth and maturity of the body. You'll notice that we read earlier, after these men are listed, male leadership in the Lord's church, then look at verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of ministering, unto the building up of the body of Christ. Now, different versions read a little bit differently with those little prepositions there. For example, the King James and New King James mentioned the word for three times, and other versions will go back and forth between four and two. The version that I read from has for at the beginning and then unto following. There are two different prepositions used here, for and then unto. There is one work. These men are for the perfecting of the saints. That's their goal. These men in the church perfect the saints. Now, the word perfect here does not mean sinless. It means to help Christians be full grown and complete and mature. That is their work. For the perfecting of the saints. But those saints then, those Christians, turn around and they go out and do something. There is one work of perfecting which leads to two results. And that is ministering unto the work of ministering. And number two, unto the building up of the body of Christ. So these men have one primary work, the perfecting of the saints. And then two results, they will go out ministering and serving and building up. And so everyone then is doing something, not just the male leadership. A lot of times in the denominational world today, you have leadership doing a lot of things, and then the attendees, they just come in and sit for a little while and then go home. But all of us are supposed to be busy doing things. We all have works to do. And so I wanted to point that out. And so all of this leads to spiritual growth and maturity. What we have in this section that follows, 12 through 16, there's a focus on activity. There's a focus on growth. There's a focus on maturity, not just a dead group of people. So, for example, you have the word perfecting in verse 12, building up in verse 12, or edifying, full-grown man, verse 13, no longer children, verse 14, grow up, verse 15, increase of the body, verse 16, building up, verse 16. You see that? And so there is activity, there is growth, there is work going on, and that's how we remain unified. A lot of times there's division in a local group because not everybody is busy focused on spiritual things. And they're focused on other things, and it's easy for them to bring in division among themselves and others. But if we'll stay focused on perfecting the saints, the work of ministering, the building up of the body of Christ, then it's going to lead to unity. Members of the Lord's body who maintain the right walk, verse 1, and the right attitude, verse 2, the right effort, verse 3, the right doctrine, verses 4 through 6, and the right leadership, verse 11, will stay active and grow and mature as they should. And we're trying at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ to have that kind of leadership. I'm the evangelist at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We have elders and pastors and teachers. And that's what we are striving for. That's what we want. And we want to be led to unity. We may be smaller than other groups in town. It's not about the numbers. But we're unified. And that's what's important. That's what Christ wants. He never talks about numbers, specific numbers that make him happy. What makes him happy is unity and speaking the truth in love. And we're striving for that at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We invite you to come be a part of that. But what we find here is that individuals who do that, they will be unified together. And they will work in serving and growing together spiritually. They will be unified in their faith upon the knowledge of the Son of God. So we come into verse 13 and we find an emphasis on truth. And this from here on out is very important. Truth. They will not be immature or deceived or carried away by man-made doctrines. We will know the difference between truth and error. We won't be fooled by man-made doctrine, the slight or the cunning or clever doctrines of men, craftiness, wiles of error. We won't be taken in by that because we're being taught the truth of the Word of God. And members will speak the truth in love and grow up to follow their head, which is Jesus Christ. And notice, by the way, that truth and love go together. It's not one or the other, but it's both. And that's what we strive to do. And because members are fitly framed and knit together, they will all function and work together and be active members doing what they can to supply their part for the building up and the growth of the body. And I love particularly how the New King James reads there, working by which every part does its share. One version says, as each part does its work. We're all going to be active, and that's what's going to bring about unity. All this unified activity and growth done by Christians is done in love. That's the very last two words of this section. And that's how we truly grow and help each other to get to heaven. We want you to be a part of that. Why not come? Join us. Study with us. Learn this truth in love and be united with other New Testament Christians in the Clarksville area. We're glad that you've joined us this morning on the program. We always appreciate that. We hope that you'll have a good day, and we hope that you'll tune in next week. Thank you for being with us.